and you thought that getting on Facebook would get you with the hip and trendy kids. Turns out the internet and social networking site show signs of aging. A study shows that more than a quarter of Facebook users are between the ages of 35 and 54. NPR's Margot Adler recently joined the site and shares her experience as a member of the older demographic.
I confess I've become overly involved with Facebook. I've done the obvious things, connected with old friends, engaged in fun, and sometimes even deep discussions after putting up a status report. I ignore the groups, the events, the gifts, the apps, and the 1,300 people I haven't friended because they didn't leave a relevant message. But a few months ago, I got an odd request. Would I join this group, Women Who Have Removed Their Birth Year from Facebook? My first reaction was, why? I'm 63, and I've always believed in being honest about my age. I love the fact that I'm old enough to have done civil rights work in Mississippi and to have covered the Pentagon Papers trial. I'm married, I'm not looking for a job, so why hide my age? But then I noticed, as I thought about it, that all the Facebook ads on my page were about wrinkle creams and diets. Whoever was advertising had focused on my age and on nothing else revealed in my profile. For example, a love of science fiction or birding. To them, I was just a fat, walking wrinkle waiting to be fixed. So I wrote a message to the woman who started the group. It turns out her name is Christine Solosky. She's 52 and she lives near Toronto. I asked her why the group. She says one afternoon she noticed the ads. They were unrelenting.
They were for, anti-wrinkle, look younger than what you are, and, you know, how do the stars do it, this type of thing. I find them annoying. I guess you could say there was no balance.
And what was the result when she took her birth year out?
There was an obvious decrease in the number of those types of ads. Now the ads were geared more towards keywords in my profile and obviously based on my interests.
I decided not to join the group. I still like my age and I'm pretty good at being oblivious to messages imploring me to shape up. But recently I started looking again and I noticed no ads for diets or wrinkle cream. Turns out you now can vote ads on Facebook up or down and even vote them out. I'm guessing a lot of people voted against those ads for wrinkle cream.
Margot Adler is one of our correspondents based in New York.
And from Boston to Austin, to walk us through a few of the other tech stories that are out there this week, I am joined by Omar Gayaga, who covers technology culture for the Austin American Statesman. Welcome back.
Hi, Robert. Thanks for having me.
And let's start with Facebook. An increasingly popular Facebook diversion, I gather, is farming?
Yes, farming. As unlikely as it might seem, some of the most popular games on Facebook right now involve virtual farming, as in crops and cattle. Games like Farmtown and Farmville allow you to create an adorable virtual farmer, little guy with overalls, and you can plow your fields, plant seeds, harvest your crops, sell them to your friends. It starts out simple, but as you earn money selling grapes or potatoes that you've grown over, say, 24 hours, but then you can buy animals and buildings and create your own little agrarian empire.
But watching potatoes grow just doesn't seem like that sort of quick activity that we expect from the internet.
No, but what Facebook does really well with this and other games is creating that social element that's added to the game with all of your friends on Facebook. You can chat while you're playing the game. You can sell your goods to other friends of yours who are playing these games. Facebook is really good at taking a simple idea like that and making it kind of a virtual party. What's interesting is that some of the other more popular games before this were things like an online version of Scrabble and a crime game called Mafia Wars, but I'm not sure anyone expected farming to be the next big thing.
Okay, well, on to another item, web browsers. There seems to be, Omar, a lot of activity involving new versions or improvements to existing web browsers.
Yes, all of the major web browsers from Firefox to Safari to Google's Chrome and Microsoft's Internet Explorer, they've all had pretty recent updates to make them faster, smarter, and richer in features. Internet Explorer is still definitely the dominant browser in terms of market share, but lots of speed improvements and interesting features in these. And one of them, Opera, actually has one big new feature that could change the way people surf. They've introduced Opera Unite, which basically turns your web browser into a file server. You can share music, photos, create instant chats. And what's different about this is that you're doing all of this within your own personal web browser. You're not going to a website to do it or using a third-party piece of software. So that could definitely be a game changer if a lot of people adopt it and start using it.
Okay, also a big anniversary in the tech world.
Yes, the Sony Walkman just celebrated its 30th anniversary on July 1st. Much as the iPod did much later, it changed the way people listen to music. And even though Sony's fallen on hard times recently, their legendary product still makes new fans even now. Over on the BBC News, they got a 13-year-old named Scott Campbell to give up his MP3 player for a week to review the original Sony Walkman. And he was surprised to learn that the tape inside can be flipped over for more music and that it won't shuffle your music for you like the iPod.
It changed the way people listen to music and the way they don't listen to what else is happening around them. You shut off.
It seems like an alien artifact to 13-year-olds now. It's like, what is this? This big bulky thing that plays these cassette things.
Okay, Omar, let's close with a bit of fun. An online musical called Website Story.
Yeah, it landed in my inbox last week and has been passed around quite a bit. It is from a website called collegehumor.com, and it's a very clever techie take on West Side Story with odes to eHarmony, Pandora, Google Earth, and other sites not normally set to music. We've actually posted the entire video on the NPR AllTech blog at npr.org/alltech.
And we'll listen to an excerpt from it now. Omar Gayaga of the Austin American Statesman, thanks once again.
Thanks for having me.
Get the details. I had you down as not yet replied.
I hate Evite. There's nothing in emails, and you have to click through to the site. I was worried while I waited. Your picture was outdated, and you looked like a dog.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.